Hi, welcome to Medical Musings with Sam. This is a podcast for anyone whose lives are affected by chronic illness and are looking for hope in what can feel like a really hopeless situation. I'm a blogger, a writer, and founder of the online support group Medical Musings with Friends. I'm also the author of My Medical Musings, a story of love, laughter, faith, and hope living with a rare disease. Before becoming chronically ill, I was an executive manager with a passion for change management, coaching, and developing my team. Medical Musings with Sam is a podcast all about connecting with others who are trying to live well with chronic illness in the midst of difficult challenges and hurdles. Come on a journey with me, and together we can share our experiences of living a life of purpose, faith, and hope despite our diseases. Hi everyone, welcome to Medical Musings with Sam. Thanks for joining me again. It's really lovely to have you with me. And I just wanted to talk about a couple of things today, really. But first of all, just to give you a bit of a quick update on what's happening with my health. As most of you know who have been following me, I've been recovering from major surgery, having needed to have a fairly severe prolapse fixed on the left side of my abdominal wall where my small bowel had herniated through, and I needed my stoma resided from that left side to the right side. So I'm 3 months post-surgery. We've had a few hiccups along the way, but unfortunately we've got a bit of a more major hiccup. The residing of the stoma has gone really, really well, but the side where that prolapse was has unfortunately re-prolapsed. It's large, it's the same size as it was, although it is more contained, and this time there is no small bowel involvement. It is literally the abdominal wall has there's just a hernia through the abdominal wall. So I'm seeing my colorectal surgeon in a couple of weeks and to have a really good discussion about what this means. Do I need to have more surgery? Or is it going to be a watch and wait situation? Obviously, the concern is we don't want to put me at risk of having a bowel strangulation, which was the risk I was facing with the previous prolapse. So, yeah, it's disappointing. Not surprising, but disappointing. So I will keep you posted on what's going on there. As well as that, I also had a consultation with my spinal specialist this week too. We had a really good long chat. All the way along, he's been saying, I need to have fusion surgery in my spine, but my bones, the integrity of them is such that the risks are way too high. And, you know, I'm at risk of everything from paralysis to just such a long rehabilitation that we wouldn't even know when it would finish, or at worst, severe infection and death. But they also don't think that any kind of grafting will take because of the bones, etc. But because the progression of, the spinal damage has been, extreme to a degree, he had started to think that maybe we should consider it, really because he didn't want me to be in a wheelchair. So we had a really good chat last week about all of that. And as he said, we're there now. You know, I can only mobilize with a walker inside the house, and I have to be in a wheelchair outside of the house. And, you know, we're there now. So really, we've both decided, and that's certainly been supported by my wider medical team and certainly my allied health professionals, that not to do surgery is the right decision for me, despite the fact that that leaves me sort of wheelchair bound. And I'm really comfortable with that decision as well, because the alternative is just not even worth it. Quality of life is what is worth, what's worth it at the moment. And that's what we're hanging on to for as long as we possibly can. So that's good. What we are going to do though is I'm going to have a bone scan. Once I work out what's happening with this prolapse, I'll go and have a bone scan, just check that there's not any major new fractures anywhere in the body. And then I'll catch up again with my orthopedic specialist, and we'll see just, yeah, if there's anything that does need sorting out, or if it's, you know, again, just a matter of keeping an eye on things. So that's that. I also am going to see a cardiologist in the next couple of weeks too, to do a Holter 24-hour monitor, and then a blood test 24-hour monitor, and then I will see the cardiologist as well, because my blood pressure, with whatever's been going on prior to surgery with this prolapse, and even after it, there must be, well, there is, we know from blood tests, there's some kind of infection going on somewhere, and my blood pressure is just going literally through the roof. So we just need to check that there's nothing untoward going on with the heart as well. So that's all happening. There's lots happening. And I also have a follow-up appointment with my hematologist, because we're still monitoring the low-grade blood cancer, and just seeing what's happening with that. So that's going to be happening in the next couple of months, as well as my gastroenterologist to look at what's happening with my liver, because that's suddenly gone from being pretty healthy to suddenly very diseased. And again, nobody quite knows what's going on with that either, aside from the fact that it's quite likely linked into whatever is happening with my overarching disease. So that's it on the health front. So, as I said, lots going on. So, you know, that can be a lot to handle if I think about it all at once. If I prioritize, which is what I'm doing, then you literally just take one day at a time. Which brings me to the topic that I guess I want to talk to you about today, which is all about days, and just thinking about when you're medically retired and your life is very different to the structure that you had when you were working, or involved in community work, or running a home, whatever it might have been that you were doing prior to being, you know, diagnosed with a chronic disease, and one that really does disable you, all of a sudden, days become really blurry. Now, I know we can all say that, and I had moments even in my past life where you'd wake up and go, "Oh my goodness, what day is it?" But, you know, I have really found that I've had to learn not to categorize my days into weekdays and weekends, because it doesn't really work like that. Although it's getting more busier, I guess, with appointments and with carers and with all of those kind of things. When you have your weekends free, it does sort of feel more like you've got a weekend. But in general, it's a case of, is it Sunday, Monday, or Tuesday? And you know what? Does it really matter what day it is? But I have decided that one of the hardest things about being medically retired is working out what day of the week it is. Every morning I wake up, and I actually need to look at my phone to work it out. My life is full in so many ways, and despite disease and disability, but the days, they still fly by. Weeks become months at a pace that I'm really struggling to keep up with, and that's part of it, because I'm just so involved in, you know, my forums and volunteering for Arthritis Queensland, and podcasting, and writing, and yeah, and then just keeping up with appointments and just trying to find time to even relax. It can get difficult even when you're disabled and medically retired. Although one would question, am I medically retired? But you know what I mean. But I'm sure it's because I'm more focused on surviving each day sometimes, because the pain that I feel, it really does threaten to overwhelm me, and it makes even the simplest of tasks far from easy. So there's that constant underlying battle. Even, you know, when I'm doing something like this, I'm actually perched on my bed, all set up. It's quiet in here. My husband's watching the football. So he's happy, and it, but you know, my back is screaming at me as I'm doing this, and so I've got that in the background, and my focus though is talking to you, and wanting this to be as informative as I can possibly make it, and helpful to people. But that's, you know, a struggle when you do have that burning intense pain. You know, for me at the moment, it's running all down my lower back and all down my legs. and I can't feel my feet. And I'm waiting for painkillers to kick in. So my timing was probably a bit off in doing this, but that's okay. You know, I need to do it when I'm able to do it as well. And it's quiet at the moment. It's quiet outside. It's quiet, you know, in the house. So I'm able to do it. So yeah, that's life, isn't it? But one of the hardest things as well about living with a chronic illness is learning that life has to be paced. And I've said this, you know, many, many times. No more jumping out of bed and embracing the day with an energy of an elite athlete. And I know that sounds like an extreme analogy, but that's how I used to live. I had that kind of energy and physical ability. And I've always loved life. I still do. I still wake up every day with anticipation that the day ahead will bring new and exciting opportunities despite my circumstances. It's called hope. I still hope that there's something every day that will make my heart sing. I know I'm not alone in experiencing a life-changing health event. There are many, many people suffering from long-term chronic illness, whether it be physical or a mental disability. One minute you're active, and then the next you're wondering what on earth you're going to do with a failing body and mind. You know, I can make lists as long as my arm, but there is no way I can physically achieve them. I can dream of faraway adventures or just popping out on a whim to visit friends or family. But the reality is I can't do that. I can barely move from the lounge room to the bathroom. A 10-minute drive in a car as a passenger takes at least 24 hours for me to recover. I need to look at life, look at days of the week so differently from how I did when I was an executive manager, when I was working to a really tight schedule and having almost every moment of my day planned. But is it so bad that I don't know what day it is today? You know what? I don't really think it is. I like to think that I need to embrace every day like it's Sunday. I've always loved Sundays. In our home, it's usually a really quiet and reflective day. And I say usually, my husband's an Anglican clergyman, and Sundays in the past were far from quiet. It was the busiest day of our week. But they've always been reflective. He's now retired because he's my carer. So, you know, we definitely have reclaimed Sundays as a quiet day. But some days still feel like a Monday or a Thursday if I've got medical appointments to attend. And they're extremely difficult days physically for me to be able to get out and do that. But other than those sort of really busy days from that perspective, I can pace myself. And it should be like this, as it's why I'm medically retired. So if you're listening to this and you're chronically ill and you're medically retired, do not feel guilty about needing to pace and to care for yourself, to manage your disease and to find a new quality of life. That is what you need to do in order to have a fulfilled life. But you know, the biggest battle with embracing every day like it's Sunday is with me. And I hazard a guess, it's the same with you. We put up our own hurdles and self-talk that, you know, limits us from being able to be the best we can be living with a chronic disease. Because we still have expectations of we think we should be able to do this, that, and the other. I know physically that my bone disease limits me in every area of my life due to pain and disability. And look, my broken bones, they serve as a constant reminder of that. So you'd think I'd be intelligent enough to give myself permission to treat every day like Sunday, or at the very least like Saturday. And mostly I do, but there are still moments and days when I want to run, I want to plan, I want to contribute to life on a larger scale like I used to. Underneath those physical disabilities, I'm still me. I'm still that same person mentally who used to jump out of bed every morning with way too much energy. I can't change my health situation, but I can change my mindset. So a while back, I decided to deliberately choose to embrace my new life. So I've been medically retired now for 10 years. I can't believe it's that long, but it's been 10 years. For the first 7 years, I still wanted to conform to the normals of life. Point in case was when I was arranging appointment times. If someone asked if I could attend an early morning appointment around 8 a.m., I'd just automatically say, yeah, of course I can do that. It was a ludicrous thing for me to attempt. My husband and I would need to cancel all of our activities the day before the appointment, so I was completely rested. On the day of the appointment, I needed to get up no later than 5 a.m. to begin the whole process of getting my body to function, deal with my stoma, get dressed while in excruciating pain, etc. The following 5 days after the appointment would be a write-off as I attempted to recover. You know, as I look back, why I felt the need to say yes when it was a ridiculous thing to do still baffles me. But I think mostly it was because I didn't want to be a nuisance. I wanted to make the other person's life easier and work with their schedule. I was aware I also needed the appointment and I was just so grateful to be given one. But that was a distorted thought process, for better or for worse. My disease began to significantly progress a few years ago, and I finally realized that I needed to change my behavior and thought processes, especially if I was serious about wanting to live the best life possible. So my yes, when people asked, you know, is 8:30 a.m. okay? My yes needed to become, no, look, I'm really sorry. It's not possible that early due to my disability, but what can I do? What I can do is any time after 11 a.m. So my response, instead of saying yes, was, no, sorry, it's not possible that early due to my disability, but what I can do is any time after 11 a.m. So for me now, that's just like second nature. And I was reminded recently how far I've come. I received a phone call from a care provider. The lovely lady was coming to do an assessment, and she asked if she could come at 8 a.m. A little alarm triggered in my mind to think before replying, and thankfully, my first thought was, no way does this time work. So I quickly thanked the lady for the appointment offer and calmly explained that because I'm disabled, the earliest I can make any appointment is 11 a.m. You know what? It wasn't a problem. She could definitely see me in the afternoon. I was prepared to wait longer for this much-needed appointment if we needed to change the day to fit her schedule, but on this occasion, it all worked out perfectly. And I'm very relieved that every time I've had that dialogue where I've said, sorry, I can't, an appropriate solution has been found. In general, people are incredibly accommodating of disability needs. So I spoke about deliberately embracing chronic illness, and I know that might raise an eyebrow or two, because the word, you know, embracing chronic illness and deliberately doing it, like, what on earth am I talking about? But the word deliberately is key. I think there's a sense of determination and grit that's really needed to fully accept chronic disease. And you do almost have to commit to it when you know it's permanent. And what I mean by that is commit to it in a way you would your career, relationships, goals, or life pursuits. So if you've sought all the medical treatment possible, you've followed your medical team's advice to the letter of the law, and you've been told your disease is chronic, permanent, and perhaps progressive, well, it's probably time to just go with the flow and accept it for what it is. Doing that, I have learned to live very differently over the past 4 or 5 years. And I guess it's all about acceptance, and it's been a gradual process, but a necessary one to discover a new quality of life. I talk a lot about acceptance on my blog. So if you go to www.mymedmusings.com and you'll find a little search engine on the blog. If you just put in acceptance, all the blogs about acceptance will come up, and I talk a lot about acceptance there. So and again in my book too. So hopefully you know, that might help. But ultimately, it's about finding a new quality of life. So that's what acceptance is about when you've got chronic illness. You know, your life is not going to be the same. So you have to find a new quality of life. And if you can do that, that in essence gives you a sense of acceptance. So quality of life will obviously mean different things to different people. And we all have to work out what truly is important to us to find a meaningful way to live. For me, it's being passionate about serving others, and that's been my driving force. My life has always focused on helping others in my career in the business world, my roles in church life, etc. And when I was working as part of a team or coaching and developing others to help them achieve their goals, I was always happy and content. It's just what I love to do. So even before I was chronically ill, I was also content in my home. Another key for me. You know, I've always been a homebody. I was happy with quiet weekends, pottering around the house, enjoying my interior decorating hobby. I loved takeaways in front of the TV with my husband, or fish and chips by the beach, or just a simple picnic in the country. I love road trips. I never had a major burning desire to travel the world, although I have traveled to the UK when I was 18, again at 20, but that satisfied my international travel bug. I have travelled extensively throughout Australia, which I love to do. As I said, road trips are just my thing. And, you know, my husband and I have lived also in many different places across our beautiful country. So I'm content with the wonderful experiences and memories I've had from my healthy days. I've definitely created a new quality of life, though, and in many regards, it's not that much different to my old life. It's just tweaked. I do it all from home now for a start. My fingers do the walking online as I serve and share with others on my online forum and through my writing and through volunteering to do online work for Arthritis Queensland. But also our car can still take me on short drives to look at beautiful scenery and have picnics in the comfort of our car seats. I can still potter with home decorating, and I'm so grateful that for now I can still live in my own home. I'm not going to waste what precious energy I have being angry at my disease or my body. Things happen in life to all of us in varying ways, and life is so short. I do not want to be miserable when I can enjoy many things differently. There's always things that we don't see coming, things we wouldn't have chosen, things we can't change. So I'm deliberately accepting my circumstances so I can get on with life and with living the best version that's on offer to me. I'm deliberately giving myself permission to stop and smell the roses as if every day is like Sunday. Ultimately, it just doesn't matter what day it is. It matters that I make the most of every single day and make the moments within each day count. It matters that I don't waste time being discontent about my circumstances. If I do allow myself to feel hard done by or focused on what I can't do, I really am only making life harder. And who knows, with enough Sundays all strung together, I might actually be able to enjoy the odd Tuesday and Wednesday. I'm not sure about Mondays, though. I never quite like those. But the good news is I'm happy to wake up on a Monday and realize I don't have to jump out of bed and rush to work anymore. There are some bonuses to being medically retired, and I think we need to embrace whatever new blessings come our way. What day is it? Not sure. Don't really care. Just happy to be alive with a day ahead full of opportunities to deliberately embrace a contented chronic illness life. And I hope you can too over time. If not now, give yourself time. You'll get there. There is hope. There are ways to reinvent ourselves. And I really hope that if that's your struggle at the moment, that this might have been a little bit helpful for you, and that might just help you think about how you can turn your circumstances around and find a way to live a life that's right for you in a different way. So all the very best. I look forward to catching up again in the next podcast episode. And in the meantime, please take care. And thank you so much for listening to Medical Musings with Sam. Love you. Bye. If you enjoyed what you heard today, you can subscribe to this podcast or you can leave a review. I would really appreciate your support. If you would like to have more of my medical musings in your world on a regular basis, I also have a blog which you can find at www.mymedmusings.com. I post there at least weekly, so there's lots for you to read and be involved with. If you would really like to be a part of a nurturing community, Medical Musings with Friends is a private support group on Facebook, offering the hand of friendship, support, true care and understanding to anyone living with chronic illness. We would love to welcome you into our community. Just search Medical Musings with Friends on Facebook, click join, and you will receive the warmest of welcomes. I also have a book, My Medical Musings, a story of love, laughter, faith and hope living with a rare disease. It's available now through Amazon and my publisher, Imagine We Publishers. I would love for you to check it out. There's something in the My Medical Musings world for everyone, something different to suit your needs. I hope you do find something that resonates with you and helps you feel you are not alone. Because you're not. Remember, chronic illness is a part of your life, not all of your life. Take care.